From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Fire danger in most of Minnesota is expected to increase rapidly in the coming week as the snow continues to melt and winds dry the dead standing grass and brush in open areas. Because of this danger, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources will place burning restrictions over much of the state starting the 26th of March. Cook, Lake, and St. Louis County will get those restrictions on the 2nd of April. Spring fire restrictions limit open burning until summer greenup occurs. Traditionally, most wildfires in Minnesota occur during April and May. More than 95% of these fires are caused by human error. The restrictions normally last from 4 to 6 weeks until sufficient green vegetative growth occurs. The burning restrictions mean the state will not give out burning permits for burning brush or yard waste. Campfires are still allowed. Campers should watch their fire continuously and make sure it's out and cold to the touch before leaving the area. The ISD 166 School Board will decide on money-saving school calendar changes at its April 19th meeting. The saving comes from increasing the secondary school day and shifting to a modified 4-day week. Superintendent Beth Schwartz.
So we're looking at reducing the number of days that kids come into school by 15, and that would extend our day by 28 minutes. We'd be looking at an 8:07 start time, 3:30 end time.
After taking into account regularly scheduled holidays and other factors, the first semester will see additional Fridays off for students. In the second semester, many of the days off would be Mondays. Some of the 15 fewer days would be attached to regularly scheduled breaks. Secondary class periods would increase from 52 to 56 minutes, with 3 fewer days in class. State requires 1,020 classroom hours. ISD 166 currently offers 1,088.
That savings in transportation, plus some of the other savings through kitchen, through paraprofessionals, the bus driver costs, etc., we're looking at approximately an $85,000 savings.
If approved at next month's school board meeting, the calendar would take effect for the 2012-13 school year. The National Park Service has begun an internal review of the wolf population and wildlife dynamics on Isle Royale. The NPS has developed a plan to move forward with identifying options and evaluating the implications of intervention. The actions follow in response to Michigan Technological University studies headed by wolf specialist Dr. Rolf Peterson. An interdisciplinary group of Park Service wildlife biologists, wilderness specialists, and natural resources experts met last month to discuss the declining wolf population issue and reached an agreement on how to move forward. Planning will take into account a variety of factors, including climate change, species interactions, and ecosystem dynamics. According to Isle Royale Superintendent Phyllis Green, the results of the 54th annual winter study at Isle Royale National Park show that the wolf population is at the lowest level since the study began. Green said, quote, "We are very concerned about current wolf population demographics and trends and intend to discuss and analyze these dynamics as part of the broader ecosystem and context of change on the island." She added, "We look forward to updated information from the MTU researchers, and as we move forward in resolving this issue, the long-term science will be invaluable." District 3A State Representative David Dill weighed in earlier this week on the pending voter ID constitutional amendment. He doesn't approve of it for a number of reasons. Chief among them is the wording of the question that leaves most of the details to the next legislature. I spoke with Representative Dill earlier this week. State Representative David Dill, good morning, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing well. First of all, let's talk about the constitutional amendment on voter ID. The House passed that earlier in the week, and the Senate, I think, takes it up tomorrow. So, good idea, bad idea?
Well, I voted against the voter ID constitutional amendment. Well, first off, I don't think that the Constitution is the place that ought to be. There's only one state. I think it's Mississippi that has amended their Constitution. And right away, I've gotten a lot of flack over this because, you know, what's wrong with you? Don't you think that people need to show an ID? We show an ID when we go to the doctor and when we buy, all the different things you can imagine if you pick up a prescription and all of those things. And you can name off a small litany of things you have to show an ID, picture ID for, but you got to remember something. Those are privileges. Mm-hmm. You get an airline ticket when you walk up to get your airline ticket. That's a privilege. voting is a right, and it's spelled out in the Constitution that it's a constitutional right to vote. And that's a difference. There's a difference between a privilege and a right.
Are you concerned about same-day registration? I know that the Secretary of State is. Yeah. How would that work under this amendment?
Well, no, that's another reason I voted against it, is because mail-in ballots and provisional ballots and same-day registration, there are no rules on this. Usually when a bill is passed, it tells all of those answers, all of the litany of questions that you just scratched the surface of.
Mm-hmm.
What this bill does, it leaves for future legislatures to decide how those things will be dealt with. And so there's really nothing. It says, as specified in law. It says that routinely in the bill. And so there's nothing to back it up. So that means that starting, next year, if this is passed and actually amended on the Constitution, we'll have to start working on all of these details. And I'm not going to vote for a bill that doesn't have any detail on it. I mean, legislators get criticized for voting on bills because we haven't read every page, every word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when there's no pages or words, how do you know what those things are going to mean?
Well, I don't know about the rest of your constituency, but here in Cook County, we vote by mail. And so, I mean, how do I prove that I'm a registered voter?
All good questions. If you needed a provisional... If you need to vote provisionally, where you had to go in and show your... If you lived in the West End, right out on the edge of the county,
mm-hmm.
out by the power plant, and you have to go to the county seat to get a provisional ballot, I mean, how far is that? That's got to be 50, 60 miles one way. That's mm-hmm. 120. If you lived in Capitogama, up in northern St. Louis County, and you had to go to Duluth, that's 300 miles round trip. I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't know the answers to. Now, maybe we figure that out, but the number one of the things that really drove me crazy on this amendment is it says very plainly in the question that will appear on the ballot, it says a government-issued photographic picture ID. Now, remember, when you amend the Constitution, that's just about forever. So that leaves no leeway for any technological advance. It says a picture photographic ID.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get to retina scans iris scans or retina scans or fingerprints, there's no room. There's no latitude. And so I think that it could be a lot better. Now, I'm for having the people that are supposed to vote. I mean, that's a critical part. But even in Texas and Arizona, where they had huge immigration problems and people, you've heard all about on the TV.
Yeah.
They don't have a constitutional amendment. They have laws. They have statutes that can have flexibility to change with the times.
Well, that's...
No?
That's,
you can see why I'm very... I was troubled by the way the whole thing was presented. So I voted against it. Now, probably some people say, blah, blah. But the fact is, it was a bad bill the way it was written.
Well, thank you, Representative Dill. We'll talk to you soon. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.